when you look at God, you're looking at something way better than a perfect body. When you're looking at God, you're looking at something far better than a pretty face. And yet and still, we will consume ourselves. And you know, we all like nice things. And you know, people will go and look at cars and just meditate on cars and look at the beauty of antique cars and study the cars. But God is absolute perfection. God is perfect. And when you look at him, you're looking at something perfect. Somebody said, well, where can we see the beauty of God at? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Where can we see God's beauty? You can see God's beauty in creation. All you got to do is look in the sky, and you can see the beauty of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Life Comes at You Fast, Part 2, Psalms 27. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Life Comes at You Fast.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. To behold the beauty of the Lord in creation, in his word, and in Christ. And then you can behold the beauty of God in his character. That God is gracious. Man, I think about what I've done. I think about what I think. And then I think about the fact that God still loves me. And God sent Christ to die on the cross for me. You know, notice what David said here. Notice what he said. He said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This word, behold, guess what it means? Gaze at.
Yeah.
To gaze at. not a cursory look. Not a cursory look. Not a glance, but. And when I see how God loves me, and I see how the grace of God.
Come on. Take that view.
It's good, man.
I see how that, man, you know, sometimes I don't do everything that I'm supposed to do. And yet, in spite of that, God still loves me.
Yes.
I don't do all I'm supposed to do, yet still, God still has saved me.
Yeah.
I think of, as the songwriter said, I was lost and undone without God and his son, and Christ died for me. I think about the fact that I deserve absolutely nothing. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be eternally separated from God. I deserve to be punished forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Man, David said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Saints, do you stop sometimes and just behold God's beauty? Do you stop sometimes and just get lost in God's character? Do you stop sometimes and just get lost in God's love, to behold the beauty of the Lord? And let me say some things about this beauty. The first thing that I want to say about this beauty is that this beauty is never deceptive. You know, sometimes we fix ourselves up. You know, we get ourselves, look in the mirror. You know, we comb our hair. You know, if we got a little bald spot, we might comb it a certain way to try to make it look like we're covering it up. And you know, if our eyes are red, you know, we get some Visine and put it in there. You know, we cover up a lot of stuff. So our beauty sometimes is deceptive.
Our beauty, whoa, bro. our beauty sometimes is deceptive. And we deceive other people. But God's beauty, when you're looking at the beauty of God, you know, even Satan's beauty is deceptive. The Bible says that he is transformed into an angel of light. And that when he's transformed into this angel of light, it's deceptive. Because what's he trying to do? He's trying to draw you in. And it's a very deceptive beauty. But God's beauty never deceives. God's beauty is pure. God's beauty is perfect. It never tries to deceive you. That when you look at God and the fullness of all he is, you're looking at not only absolute perfection, but you're looking at absolute truth. What you see is what you get. God does not deceive. The second thing, you know, I remember there was a day that I used to be able to bend steel with my bare hands. That I was able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. You know, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Bill Glaze. But you know what? I can't do the things I used to do, saints. I'm sorry, ladies, if y'all are falling out of a building, I can't rescue you. There was a day I could have did that. I just can't do it now. You see, what's that tell me? That the beauty and strength that we have does what? It fades away. It fades away. It's leaving us, brothers and sisters. Yeah, you look good today. That's all right. You look good today. We need to see that after picture about 30 years from now, 20 years from now. It's going to look a lot different. Why? And why is it? Let's be real. Let's be real. Because the beauty fades. It fades. And so, you know, somebody said, beauty fades, but ugliness holds its own. Beauty is skin deep, but ugliness is to the bone. So your beauty is going to fade. It's going to fade. But you know the thing about God's beauty? It never fades. Man, God's beauty never fades. That when you look at the beauty of God and you see God in all his perfection, you see God in all his glory, that never fades. It's always radiant. It's always powerful. And it's a beauty that never fades. And then it's a beauty that never loses its power. It's always, it maintains the same power at all times. I like the song that Andre Crouch sang many years ago about the blood. It reaches the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. It will never lose its power. The blood that saved that dying thief on the cross is the same blood that continues to save on to today. It's not, you know, when Christ died on the cross, it wasn't all this blood was powerful and it was strong at that. And then through the years, it got weaker and weaker and weaker. But that blood was just as strong that today as it was then. It's the same blood, the same power. It will never lose its power. God will never lose his power. Why don't you look at something beautiful today? Oh, I didn't say pull out your mirror. Why don't you look at something beautiful today? Behold the beauty of the Lord. Look at God's beauty. And it's a beauty that is not deceptive, it doesn't fade, and it never loses its power. Oh, the second thing we see is that David makes a resolve. He said, I am resolved to sing God's praises. That when life comes at me fast, and that when things come at me so fast that I'm not prepared for them. See, if you already are praising God, when problems come, you're going to continue to praise God. You know, it's just like the illustration that we've heard about that sponge. If you take a sponge and you dip it in water and squeeze it, water comes out. If you take a sponge and you dip it in orange juice and you squeeze it, then orange juice come out. If you dip a saint and you dip them in the praises of God, and when that saint is squeezed, guess what's going to come out? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, but if you dip the child of God in, watch it, Aaron, watch it, Aaron. You get ready to get in trouble now. You get ready to get in trouble. If you dip him in soap operas and gossip and all this other stuff, and then you start squeezing him, guess what's going to come out? Guess what's going to come out? Oh, don't leave him. You see? David said that if I'm already singing God's praises before I hit trouble, then I'm going to continue to sing them as I go through trouble. It's kind of hard if you haven't been doing it when trouble comes your way to start doing. Look what he says in verse 6. He said, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. These, you know, at the end of that verse, some very interesting things. The King James is a good translation, but in this case, it doesn't do it as much justice as the literal Hebrew, because what is saying in here, where he says, I will sing, you know all David is saying? Make some noise. You know, that's encouraging to me. Y'all know that, right? See, that's why I'll go with that translation right there. I think that's the NIV translated, make some noise, all right? The King James says, let them sing. So you know which translation I'm going to go with. Make some noise. And then the last part of it says, make some music. I can play music now. That's one instrument I can play, the phonograph. Yeah. Make some music, make some noise. David said that just, you don't have to be skilled. You don't have to be gifted. Just have it in your heart. Let it be in your heart so that if it's in your heart when trouble comes, look, you might just, you might just shout, make some noise. You might go and put your headset on and turn your stereo up loud. Make some music unto the Lord. Look at 2 Samuel 6:15. 2 Samuel 6:15. And you remember this passage when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the holy city. And as they brought it back in to the holy city, look what it says in chapter 6 in verse 15. As they brought it back. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Well, isn't that what he said in the 27th Psalm? They were making noise and playing music. Making noise and playing music. Man. This is what it means when life comes at you fast. If you got the joy of God in your heart, if you got the praise of God in your heart, that when life comes at you fast, it might hurt. I'm not going to say that it doesn't hurt. I'm not going to say it won't even take you by surprise. But one thing you'll know is that you'll get right back into praising God. You know, I was talking to Brother Garland Cephas when he was here, and he was telling me about his house in Oakland, how that it was flooding. And that, you know, they said that, you know, the first floor or something was all flooded out. And I said, man, I said, that's kind of rough. And he said, hey, man, he said, it's only stuff. Wow. It's only stuff. You see, when you are rooted and grounded in God and you can lose everything, it's only stuff. Because that's not where your joy is. That's not where your happiness is. Your happiness is rooted and grounded in God. And so when hard times come, you might pause, but you keep on singing. Amen. You might temporarily slow down, but you keep on singing. Amen. David said, I'm going to be resolved in my heart to sing God's praises. The third thing he said, resolved, is to seek God's face. To seek God's face. Verse 8. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We see that there was a voice that David heard. And this voice said, seek my face. Seek my face. And David said, Lord, my heart will seek your face. I'm resolved in my heart to seek your face. And what does it mean to seek the face of God? Right there in the notes where it says a human response, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. It means to seek God's favor. It means to want to delight in God just blessing you and God just being pleased with your life and God just showering abundant spiritual, physical, all kind of blessings upon you. It means to seek God's favor. It means to seek to know God. That you're saying, God, I want to know you in a way like I've never known you before. And it means to seek fellowship with him. Lord, I desire to be in fellowship with you. When I heard that voice that says, seek my face, Lord, your face will I seek. You know, I thought that, you know, that this, you know, when you look back and it says in verse 5,
In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. That's the promise to those who seek God's face. You know, I want to show you something. Come here for a second here. Now say this. This is God's pavilion back here. This is God's tabernacle, all right? This is his hiding place back here. I want you to seek my face. Wherever my face goes, I want you to go. All right. He's going to lead you right into his protection. And that's why folk are isolating themselves, leaving themselves out there, all exposed to the devil, all exposed to the forces of wickedness and darkness. Why? Because they're not seeking God's face. That when you seek God's face, where will God lead you? God will lead you right into his tabernacle, the place of protection, the place of safety. In his pavilion where nobody can touch you. Like I said last week, notice what he said there. He said, in the secret of his tabernacle. You see, just being in the tabernacle, nobody can get to you. You know, you remember, who was it? Uzziah? He went into the temple and tried to offer sacrifice, and God smote him with leprosy. You can't go into the temple. You can't go into the temple. Only the priest could go into the temple. So first of all, you can't get in there. The second thing, if you could, God said he put you in a secret place. So even if somebody does get in, they can't find you because it's a secret place that only he knows about. And so we have that precious, precious promise that David said that he was resolved to seek God's face. If you go where God's face goes, guess where God is going to lead you? He's going to lead you right into protection. He's going to lead you right into the place where he wants you to be. And then finally, David said that he was resolved to surrender to God's timing. To surrender to God's timing. When life comes at you fast, you've got a purpose in your heart that you're going to wait on God. You know, it might seem like everything around you is falling down. Don't step out of God's protection. You know, it seems like life is coming at you and you got to make a decision, and don't make a rash decision. Don't just jump out there. You know, it kills me to see people that just continue day after day to make these rash decisions, to make rash choices and end up suffering the consequences of them. David said, wait on the Lord. Look what he said in verse 11. He said, I would have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, look, I would have fainted. I would have, you know, and you know, there's so many people that have fainted. They fainted because they've made wrong choices, they've made wrong decisions, and now you're living with the consequences of that choice and that decision. What does that mean? You're fainting. David said, I would have fainted. I would have been absolutely out of it. I would have been away from the will of God. I would have been away from the things that I was supposed to be doing. But he says in verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As I was reading one of the commentaries, and you know, I love studying for the messages, and I read about five commentaries, and one of the commentaries, it said that David, and it blew me away. I think it was, it might have been the pulpit commentary. It said that David actually was having a conversation with the doubting side of himself in verse 14. And he said that, you know, he was trying to convince the doubting part. He said that there was a part of David that was absolutely convinced, you know, that God was going to take care of him. But there was that little part, which I think there is in all of us. That little part that sometimes, you know, doubts. And it said that David actually was in a conversation with himself saying, wait on the Lord. Are you saying wait on the Lord? Be of good courage. Are you telling me to be of good courage? And he will strengthen your heart. Are you telling me that God will strengthen my heart? Wait, I say, on the Lord.
You know, that's a pretty convincing argument right there. I think I'm going to wait on God.
See, sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Now, don't do it, you know, when people are looking at you and they don't know what you're doing. But sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Because you know what? You'll doubt yourself. You'll question yourself. You know, I tell you what. Sometimes kids will make you question yourself, man. They'll make you question yourself. Like, make you seem like you don't know what in the world you're talking about. Woo. But you know what? You might have to sit down. You might have to sit down and have a conversation with yourself. Yeah, man, what you doing is right. Yeah, I was starting to question, man. I was wondering, man. You know, they was presenting some good arguments. No, you're right, man. Stay to your guns. No. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, dialogue back and forth. And David said, here, look, you know, there's a part of me that sometimes might not want to grab onto this whole thing about God. He said, but you know what? I'm going to talk myself into this because I know that this is the right way. I know that this is the right. And, you know, Satan's job is to cast doubt, and Satan's job is to bring us to a place where we have doubt in our mind. And sometimes you just got to convince yourself, saints. You know, God already said it. He said he was going to do it. And you just got to convince yourself. David said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What is it that has come at you so fast that has just overwhelmed you at this point? There are people here. I know there are people here that are struggling with some things. There's something that hit you and you had no idea it was coming. You know what? You got to wait on the Lord. Just don't do anything rash. Now, if God is directing you and guiding you, go ahead and do what he's telling you to do. But don't do anything that's going to cause you harm. You'll be prayerful. Be considerate about what it is that you're supposed to be doing and that you're going to do, and wait on God. And God is going to work that thing out. Man, you know what? If he don't work it out for you, then he's not God. He's going to provide a way. He's going to give you a testimony, you know, how that he can provide. Man, just wait on him. You know, don't compromise. Don't compromise what it is that you know is right. Don't compromise what it is that you believe, but wait on God. You might see other opportunities that will come by and go, but you'll know that that's not, that wasn't it. And God will let you know what it is that you're supposed to do. And the reason that so many people struggle is because, going back to what he said earlier, they're not seeking God's face. And when you don't seek God's face, you know, why wait? Why are you going to wait on God? If you haven't sought his face, you're already on your own plan, your own program. Seek his face. Follow him. Let him take you into the place of safety. And then you know what? When you get back there, wait on it. Wait on it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Life Comes at You Fast, Part 3, Psalms 27. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Life Comes at You Fast, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Life Comes at You Fast, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Life Comes at You Fast. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org. Or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Myrna Patterson, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.